Hello and welcome to our 77th episode of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast. In today's episode, we will talk about Gutenberg 14.7, what's next for block themes, and an upcoming live Q&A in January, and so much more. My name is Birgit Pauliha, curator at the Gutenberg Times and WordPress developer advocate and core contributor on the WordPress open source project. Today, we are recording the last show of 2022, and we are all in for a special treat. I'm thrilled to welcome Daisy Olson to the show, a master educator on block themes, fellow developer advocate, and first-time release lead of the latest Gutenberg plugin release, 14.7. Good morning, Daisy. Thank you for making the time and join me on the show. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thanks so much for having me today.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's a special pleasure for me. So for the last year, you have been working on various educational material around the block themes. Your workshop at WordCamp Europe was standing room only, and then you gave an updated version 3 months later on WordCamp US. You also work with the training team on online workshops. If someone knows about block theme, it's you. So what are some of the most asked questions you hear from participants about block theme, or what are they most struggling with when building block themes?
So I think that people come from a lot of different places in their development career or path. I'm not sure if I have any specific most asked questions at the top of my mind, but I do think that the move to more low code or even no code options for creating themes is a paradigm shift, and it's going to take some time for everyone to get used to it. Given how quickly the number of block themes has increased, I heard like 250 or more potentially in the theme directory, there's certainly some energy building. I would say that one thing that I've heard in general is that there's sometimes some worry around how existing theme functionality will work as we move towards a block theme first ideal. And the short answer is that the old way will still work. We're not replacing the PHP-based theme engine. We're expanding on it and making it much easier for developers and users alike to participate in the theme creation process. But change can be hard, and this is a process that will happen over time.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, what I see that it's also what the last bit, that it's actually not a replacement. It's actually an expansion of the existing theme hierarchy framework is a little hard to hear overall. This is a new things doing things. What happens with the old thing? I think that's part of the problem that we have, and we are all working on it. And I know that Matthias also said that, yeah, there's nothing's going to go away or get obsolete. It's just that the user no code, yeah, creating a theme with the site editor is actually kind of expanding the user base of it and not shrinking it. And if the pie gets bigger, I think we all really profit from that.
Yeah. So I would just add that as we think about the way that WordPress themes are created as an expansion, it'll open up the opportunity for people to come in with a different skill set that maybe would not have been able to create theming in the WordPress theme engine the way that it has existed. And one of my very favorite things about WordPress theming is that you can take a theme created for version 1.2 and install it today, and it'll still work. You can't go the other direction because new features have been added, new functionality, but you can take something as old as so many years ago and still basically use it today. I don't know that anybody is going to do that necessarily, but the fact that backwards compatibility is such a big part of the culture of WordPress is a huge comfort if you're thinking about the future.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and that's also what made WordPress so big is almost a 20-year backwards compatibility. And I'm really amazed at every release party that I participate on, beta releases or release candidate releases, when we upgrade 4.0 something themes to the new theme, the upgrade is just themeless. Yeah, everybody who worked on the core releases has made sure that older versions upgrade to the new versions. And the same happens with the classic themes, yeah, that the WordPress will always work for classic themes. It's not up to, sometimes things change, but it's also, there's a lot of effort also in the developer, Gutenberg developer community, where the effort is to make part of the block theme features available for classic themes. You know, an example was that all the block-based template parts that can be used for classic themes, and that came with 6.1. Do you have seen a lot of adoption of those, or what people are doing with that?
I think that we have more to do to encourage people to adopt those gradual adoption kind of pathways, but the fact that they exist is really a great thing. That we're not expecting, the project is not expecting people to go in headfirst and change everything that they know and all of their workflows and everything. But there are ways that you can take legacy code, because the truth is that not every client is going to be ready for a full redesign. Some never are, but the pathways that we have to take legacy code and expand it to adopt some of these new features is really powerful.
Yeah, it's not a really good business case to make to say, okay, now I start using the new thing for new client project, unless, yeah, when you have a tested and proven workflow to get new clients online very easily for the last 6 or 7 years, you are not going to change your workflow as a theme developer or agency freelancer to change that from today, from tomorrow. Yeah, so it definitely takes some time to adjust to that. We have seen this with other new features in WordPress. They take about 2 to 3 years. All right, but I digress, or we digress a little bit, but I think it's we always kind of need to talk out about a few things, but we are ready for our announcements. And as I mentioned in the intro, we have a great Gutenberg Time live Q&A planned. It's in preparation for WordCamp Asia. The title is Layouts, 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 and layouts are a fundamental part of how block themes work. And it allows you to define the width of your post content, arrange the blocks horizontally as well as vertically, and left or right aligned and inside container blocks. And in terms of block styling, layout is a complex feature because it affects not only the container, but also the child blocks in ways that go beyond the cascading style sheets inheritance. So in the show, we will have Isabel Bryson, Andrew Sarong, Justin Tadlock, and we will discuss the opportunities and challenges for this layout feature and for site builders, both or all three of them, and I'm too, but only minimally, are available for your questions to answer them. And Isabel Bryson will also give us a little demo of the various layout scenarios, which is kind of flex and fluid and constrained. And there's certainly some more development being done in the couple of weeks that are until we have that. It's going to happen on January 11 on 5 p.m. Eastern. That's 10 o'clock UTC, 2200 UTC. And it's a little bit of a different time frame than other like live Q&As, because Isabel and Andrew are in Australia. So we have a little Asia Pacific kind of time frame there. And Isabel is also a speaker at WordCamp Asia. So it's going to be a great show. All right.
Sounds great. Another thing that has come up recently is that the WordPress support forums are now including, rather than the like WYSIWYG formatter, text format block, we have the embedded block editor. So we're going to see the ability to add blocks in support forums. So it's going to be interesting to see how that is received by the user base and if it helps to like move the support questions forward in a way. So, but anytime we see the Gutenberg project, the block editor as we know it, outside of WordPress, outside of the WordPress administrative area, it's really neat because it shows how the power of this like contained thing that can be dropped into another environment and used in a different way. So
yeah, we have in the show notes where we have the post from Alvaro Gomero, Calvaro. I'm just checking the name. Alvaro Gomez. That's I had all the letters right. But and right now it's in testing, but it won't be in testing for long. So if you follow the post, yeah, there's also a link for the test site, so you can try it out and see how you feel about it, and also share your feedback on the Make Blog support post in the comments. We also have new posts on the new developer blog. So for 5 years, I have now the trouble that it's block and blog with the pronunciation. So that the new developer blog has two new articles. One is leveraging the theme JSON and the per block styles for more performant themes by Justin Tadlock. And he outlines how using the theme JSON to style all your elements, the blocks, the individual blocks, as well as some of the elements centrally through the theme JSON file saves you quite a bit on CSS file length and also code. I'm a fan of Anders Noren themes, and he has done some great work on the block themes, and he just released his theme Oaknut. It gives you a kind of a link tree way to create your page. And it has, he says, a really small CSS file. And it comes in less than 150 lines. And 120 of those are lines for the custom block styles that he includes in the theme. So he does not style the main thing and all the other styles that come with a WordPress theme, classic theme. So I think that's also another reason to maybe use the theme JSON file for classic themes, which is possible. Any comments on that, Daisy?
Just that it's exciting to see that our CSS starts to get smaller, and by moving things into theme JSON, we are paving the pathway to make more performant sites, because we'll be able to build up more tooling to only use the CSS inline when we need it. And that hasn't always been the case. So trying to keep things small and concise where possible is going to take things a long way. So I think we'll see a lot more improvement. And it's great to see people trying to push the boundaries of how small can you make your custom CSS and still get a really beautiful design out there that can be distributed out to a lot of people. Anders puts his themes out to the community through the theme directory quite often. And I think that he's right on the front edge of where things will be in a couple of years.
Anders Noren also opened up his GitHub repos for the theme, so you can actually learn from his coding and kind of inspect them a little bit closer if you want to. So the second post on the developer blog is a PHP developer's guide to getting started with block development by Michael Burridge, and he practically gives you a roadmap of what you need to learn or what you need as tooling, and also some shortcuts and tips if you are new to modern JavaScript development. It's all in one place, so you don't have to chase other sources. You might need to read up a few things, but he also has some great links for you to study more.
I love the approach of moving into like trying to help PHP developers, because so many of us are coming from that side of things as WordPress focused developers, and sometimes the JavaScript is, especially modern JavaScript, is kind of daunting.
If you start researching yourself, you don't know where to focus, so having a curated guide is really valuable and cuts down a lot of the time that you would need to do your own research. It's still, and he says it in his post as well, there are some hurdles or learning curves to overcome, especially with React. But there's also some great abstraction in Gutenberg that you can kind of get quite a long way adopting the blocks without actually touching JavaScript. Yeah. What comes to mind is block styles, block patterns with the new locking features. I can see that a few agency might say, okay, we are not creating new blocks because now with the block patterns, we can style them and we can lock them down for our users to use, and we don't have to create new JavaScript for that. So that's also a great approach, is to kind of think about, when do I actually have to start developing for my own custom blocks? A while ago, must have been maybe a year and a half ago, Victor Ramirez and I, we had a little live Q&A on that approach to kind of see what an agency approach could be in a gradual adopting. Yeah, here's that word again, gradual adopting the new things. Yeah, when do you really need a developer, where designers and content creators actually can go a long way. So I'll put the link to that video and all the resources there into the show notes, so you can look up about it as well. Yeah. So the training team published 2-part courses talking about block themes. It's the Developer's Guide to Block Themes, part 1 and part 2. So that is definitely a great resource if you want to go from zero to hero and get all the latest features in there. And of course, the links are in the show notes, Developer's Guide to, but they're all published on learn.wordpress.org. That's a fabulous site. And I know that some of your events that you did on online education, Daisy, are also available through the site.
Yeah, I have some workshops published there. And also I will occasionally run online workshops through the Learn WordPress, a meetup group, which is also part of the training team's efforts.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. We're coming to community contributions, and then we are for the release. I just wanted to give a shout out to Jean-Baptiste Audras from the Whodunit agency, and he's also outgoing team rep of the WordPress core team. And he tweeted that his agency released 2 new plugins, mini micro plugins, with creating accessible content. One is called Lang Attribute for the block editor. So when you change in your writing the language, that you can add a Lang attribute to your paragraph tag or whatever block that is, which makes you then also compatible or compliant with the accessibility standards for language of parts. And then the second plugin is the abbreviation button for the block editor, which helps you provide definitions for abbreviations using the tag, the HTML tag ABBR element. And it's quite neat, because then you get a little, if there is an abbreviation, you get a little on the front end, a little squiggly lines or something like that, where you can point to it with your mouse and then get the long content for the abbreviation, which is actually quite neat. He also tweeted that worth noting that indicating language changes in content is mandatory for the WCA or CWEC compliance, and there is currently no way to do this in the block editor except by editing the code manually. And this feature, he says, continues, this feature should be implemented natively into Gutenberg. And I just did a little digging, and there has been an open issue, and it actually goes back to the accessibility audit. And there has been some movement, but it's not there. We need some developer to kind of get on it and fix it or put it into core. All right.
So let's move on to the change log for Gutenberg 14.7. So Gutenberg 14.7 was released this week with 165 merged PRs by 48 contributors, 9 of which were first timers. And it's packed with quite a few features, some of which are pretty experimental, and you would need to enable them through the experiment settings. And namely, that is a tabbed sidebar that splits out your block control settings between like appearance tools, styles, and other settings. Hopefully the hope there is to make it a little easier to navigate. Big improvements to the navigation block, media selection from the inserter, and more controls for the inner blocks of flex layout blocks. Other core blocks receive some small refinements that make the overall experience more consistent. There are also 19 bug fixes, 4 accessibility improvements, and quite a few documentation and code quality updates.
Yeah, and congratulations, Daisy, for your first Gutenberg plugin release. How was that experience?
It was exciting, and I learned a lot about how the release post comes together. there's quite a bit that goes into it, and I hope that, you know, I have another opportunity to go through this process again.
Yeah, I found it when I did. So mine was actually 13.7. Yours were 14.7. So it's kind of a bookend kind of there. And I really learned quite a bit how the whole thing comes together and about PRs and about all the processes that are there are quite a few automations happening and how to handle between release candidate and stable. Yeah, how to handle updates that need to get into the release. And so, yeah, I think everybody who, yeah, wants to be should start kind of reading about the release process and see if you want to volunteer for that. It definitely needs some technology background of that. That's not something for a flyby contributor, of course, but you get help from others. All right, let's dive into the changelog. As mentioned, the block library, some standard core blocks got some refinements. The first one is that the heading block now has a class name of wp-block-heading, which means that you can target any heading with your CSS. And now that that's in place, and it is it's kind of a prototype of getting other blocks also having a specific class name so you can target again. I think that was an in and out from the team that it was in there at the beginning and then they were moved around a bit and now they're coming back. So it's I see how that kind of work out. The navigation block, I think we're going to talk about the navigation a little later in quite some detail because it has a revamp and it's in the experiment. So I think we're going to talk about that a little later. The template part block has now, you now see in the site editor, the colorized template parts, like what is a header or what's a reusable block. When you go down the list view on the left-hand side, you see some color coding there. So you can, so your eyes and your brain kind of can better disseminate the different pieces of your page.
I really like that. I find visual cues to be very helpful. You know, things like if I were on a staging set, I might change the theme on it to be some obnoxious color on the back on the admin side, so I know that I'm in staging. So, but this is a small improvement just to give you a visual cue of what is a bigger piece of your list view rather than the individual blocks that are within the content.
Yeah, and your reusable block, I don't know if you said it, but the reusable blocks also have this colorized outline. The page list block hasn't been touched for a while, but it got some refinements that it actually expands in the list view and you can change the starting page. So if you are on a page that's kind of a like the beginning of a set of other pages, yeah, like in a hierarchy, you can add links to the subpages right in the page list block that you can add to the side of your page. So you can outline the subpages as well. That was still missing. It was available in the other editor in the menus, but the list block now has that too. And the table block now has, there are a lot of things that can be done to improve the table block, but now it supports the call span attribute. So you can merge cells from the same column into one place in the table HTML, and you have some nested tables if you want to. But that was definitely important when you copy paste tables from another page or another text editor into the block editor that you keep the call span attribute alive so the columns and rows align correctly.
Yeah, I'd say that just in general, anytime we improve the ability to paste content in from another place is a is a good thing, because the truth is that we don't always start our writing within WordPress, or we're using something that was collaborated on some other location. And yeah, so trying to keep things aligned with how they might exist in other places is super helpful.
Yeah. And I really, well, really, we use Google Docs quite a bit, or I use Google Docs quite a bit. And I, from the beginning of the blog edit, I was so amazed how seamless the copy and paste works from Google Docs to blog editor. If you are sparse with your design on Google Docs, yeah, the layout you have to do on the other side, but it brought over the headings, the list, the indented list, and all that. So it's a really good place.
Sure.
But now we can also do the tables. Yes.
Yeah. Another thing that I use is to pull in Markdown, and I love that it just like magically turns into HTML.
Yeah. Yeah. There are actually Markdown shortcuts that you can use on the blog editor. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. I need to do more Markdown. I'm kind of, when you paste Markdown into GitHub, it kind of seizes that code and you cannot kind of, it was weird, but post it into WordPress and you can all read it. So there was quite a few changes to the components, mostly adding a new opt-in for background color and for opt-in props, so you can actually use that component. The global styles component got a new on change action. So when the color to the color palette, so when you click on the color palette on the, so on the right hand side, you see the color palettes and you see every time you change the color, the little circle next to the property takes on the color. But when you click on it, it always went back to the default setting of the color palette. Now, when you click on it, you see the color that was in there before, in also in that little window in the color palette. So you if you just want to change the view of a color, then you don't have to navigate to the color again and then change the views. You kind of really see, okay, this was it before and this is it. So it's a really good improvement for changing colors. And yeah, I really love it. That's why I pointed it out. The others are more like code quality improvements there. And then now the block editor gets, the inserter of the block editor gets a new media tab. So now you will be able to add pictures right from the inserter instead of go to the media library, select it, come back to the editor. It's now very seamless, which means that there is now, there are additional tabs. There's one additional tab and it gets a little crowded. So you have the blocks, then you have the patterns, then the media tab, and your reusable block are still there, but they are replaced by an icon. And that's the icon that you see on other reusable block references. So I really like it. You get also some preview to the pictures. And so it's test it out. It's quite amazing.
And then at the bottom of the area, you still get a option to load up the old media library modal overlay. So if you prefer that, it's still there.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, because the media library view gives you a lot more pictures to look at, to select from. So if it's not the, because the other pictures in that view, you see one at a time in a little preview and you have to scroll through them. But if it's just an image that you uploaded the last week or the last 2 weeks, depending on how much content you provide, it's a really neat shortcut.
So the layouts control has been added to flex layout blocks, notably the row and the stack, so that you can set fit, flex, and contain. Basically, those are not the right words. I wish
fit,
I had
fill,
the ticket
no.
open. Yeah, fluid. Yes. So it gives you more control over how those two group block types will display the blocks, or how the inner blocks or child blocks will be structured.
Yeah, you also get now a minimum height block support under dimensions for the container block. Container blocks like a group block or the cover block. So you can, because it's hard to fill something when it's in it doesn't have a maximum height thing, so a minimum height to put an image that fills up the whole block. So that's also something in there. And you can also resize the children inner blocks. Resizing children is really hard. That's why I tried to find a different, because the parent-child relationship, that's more like a developer thing. Yeah, it's not for, yeah, that's a great addition to that. Scrolling down to the experiments for the, and then there's a whole lot of things for the navigation block.
Yeah, so there's a new experiment flag that you can enable or opt into by going to Gutenberg Experiments and checking the box. And what this is going to add is in the sidebar controls for your blocks, where you would normally set your appearance settings or any other settings that are part of that block, it's going to split out the appearance items from everything else. So there will be a new tabbed interface in that sidebar so that you can kind of minimize the amount of scrolling that you need to do. So it's an experiment, and feedback obviously welcome. I don't know how much it'll change, but it's a cool idea. I like anything that we can do to make the interface less overwhelming will be beneficial. But yeah, that is a new experiment, and I look forward to seeing how it evolves.
Yeah, the navigation block also uses that space in the sidebar to actually have an off-canvas editor. That's how it's used now, kind of that in the sidebar where you can, so you get a list of your pages or the menu items that are in the navigation block. So you have a little bit more space to edit them and rearrange them and also add new pages to it, because the little place that you had in the navigation block, yeah, if it's in the header, yeah, you have overlapping issues with links and setting block toolbar settings, and it was a total chaos, I would say. Yeah, if you really wanted to get in there. And it was hard to actually add submenus. And this feature makes it really, really easy to create submenus. And it's almost like a mini version of the old menu navigator from the WP admin, the old menu settings there. And you can, yeah, add and remove pages or links quite easily now, in addition to the being able to add other blocks to the navigation bar, like a search block or a site logo block, like that. Yeah. So yeah, test out the new navigation block, because it has gotten quite a few revamps from the original features, and if you like it better. So the experimental settings that you see now in that menu item is one is the zoomed out view, where you can see all your template ports and all your themes all in one place in thumbnails, and then the off-canvas navigation editor. And then there's also a I haven't tried it yet, but I heard about it yesterday on the hallway hangout for the FSE project. There is a global styles color randomizer. So if you are not very good in color combinations, yeah, you can select one color, or the randomizer gives you a full palette for your styles. It's a really interesting thing. It's more gimmick, but it's kind of like the duotone or the gradient. But people who want to work with colors, it's definitely an improvement. And then the other, the fourth one is the block inspector tabs would be with the settings and the appearance controls changed. Yeah, so four experiments. It's been a while that we had four experiments happening in the block editor. I think it was the early days of full site editing had quite a few experiments, but that was back in 2020, early 2020. And now 2 years later, almost 3 years later, we have new experiments. Awesome.
And I think that's a great thing, because it shows that we're feeling confident with the what's not experimental anymore, enough to go out into new territory again.
Yeah, sometimes it's also hard to isolate a feature into a separate place, yeah, that it's turned on and off. Yeah, but yeah, it's definitely has But you need testers, yeah. So if you are in the get the new version, check it out and let your feedback known. It's really important that those things are tested very early and feedback comes in, even if it's not testing or if you don't find a bug, but just say something is quirky or I don't understand things yet. It's very, very helpful when you let the team know. The document they were, oh, do you have anything else that you wanted to add to that?
Nope, all
Okay.
good.
There are a few documentation edits happening there, and I only want to point out that the storybook site that's online or that you also can get locally with the Gutenberg thing has now a link to the component folder on GitHub. When you look at a component with all the isolated with all the features that or features, attributes, on and off switches, different color scheme, you can test it on the storybook site. But when you check want to check out the component, you get a direct link to the place in the Gutenberg repo for the source code. So you can really double check certain things there. So it's a really good tool when you get down to the component level on whatever you want to build. And use the storyboard to test your code. Yeah, so this was the Gutenberg 14.7 change log. Well, thank you for going over it with me, Daisy. We are now in the section, what's in active development? And I have a few things there. One of them is that the team is working on making style variations theme agnostic. Is that what I understood with that? Is that you can use theme style variations even that you selected even with a different theme.
Right. There are a few parts of it, the way that I've seen it in the design panels. And one is the other installed themes that may not be active on your site, the variations will be available. Also to be able to edit them, which
Oh,
is very
nice.
cool. And then to be able to import and export style variations from other places is another piece of it. So I think that just a general expansion of the way that we can work with style variations is going to be really interesting. But yes, theme agnostic is a great way to put it because really, with the right base for how those theme vari or style variations are created, and particularly in terms of how things are named for color palettes and such, you should be able to take a style variation and put it onto any site that's using a theme JSON. So I think that it's been a really great thing with the way that 2023 default theme was created, and it kind of like spearheaded this idea that we should be able to use these in more than one way. But this is part one piece of making it easier to switch themes. So,
Yeah, and even if that's not kind of a 101 good fit, you definitely get 80% there when you switch a theme to kind of use the same styles that you had and then adopt what is missing. Because you mentioned it in a sentence is if the color scheme is not standardized from one style variation to the other, it might be a little bit wonky at first, but you can certainly adjust it. And I also can see one feature that will be could be used someplace else is to or some in some other way is to just import style variations from other places. You know, like if a theme developer has a website where have additional style variations that he doesn't want to package with his theme or her theme, it certainly would make it available to just download it and add it to it. I can also see the 2023 theme had. Was a community-wide effort, and there were 38 style variations that were submitted to be included, and 10 of those were selected. But now there is, yeah, a way to. There might come a way where you can actually add some of the others into your site, or at least test them out. All right. So Johan Asmussen, he's on the design team and one of the early designers, design leads on Gutenberg, has started quite a while ago, every 2 weeks, posting on the design team's make blog his design shares. And the one from last week had a few things in there that I want to point out. So WordPress.org is in a huge site overhaul. And in the post, you see the mockups of the Dev Hub, which is the developer site, and the job site. And there's some great visuals. Sorry, I can't show them to you in the podcast, but of course, I share the link in the show notes. But you see the updates of the Dev Hub pages as well as the jobs pages on .org, how they are designed and worked on right now by the Meta team. Have you seen those designs?
Some of them. I haven't seen the post, but I saw some of the designs other places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Meta team or the design process is quite a long one. Yeah, there's a second round of feedback now through the docs team because they are the owner of the sites. So that was, maybe I should find that as well and put it in the show notes. Another one is that the design team created the designs for a future style block. No, style book, not a block, style book. The name is still not final, but what it is actually a neat feature where you can see on a screen for each block how it will appear on your site. That's not new. You had this with any of the themes that you got a page where you can look through how my heading's going to be looking at. But now it's for every block. And you can now also on the right-hand side, see when you check a different style variation, see how the blocks change with that. And that is a fabulous feature. It really makes that coming up with new things or checking out new things like a new style variation or so, it comes really handy. There is no surprise. There is no, oh, darn, we didn't look at it beforehand, but there are two things wrong with the table block or something like that. Yeah, you kind of see it before you do it. And then you can do some fixes if you want to, but you see how your site really works, not only on the front page, but with every block that you put in there. And when I tested it, what I also saw is that it also includes the third party blocks. So if you have them from Jetpack or from Yoast or from Coblocks, all those blocks will also show up in that and you see how they will change with a change of the style variations, which is, I find that particularly important because many of those block suites came out in the early days of the block editor and some of them have not been updated and you will see it there too and see which ones are actually a little bit that need some more TLC there.
Yeah, I think of this as like a unit testing feature, but rolled in instead of having to be imported. It's available once it gets in, it would be available all the time. So mm-hmm. You can always double check how things are looking without importing content or yeah. Some of the other ways that we've had to do this kind of unit testing in the past. So.
Yeah, the feature is merged into the code base and it will be released in the 14.8 release, but it's also available. It's already available in the Gutenberg Nightly version, if you want to download that and get an early look at it. I really loved it. And then the last one is from that post is the, no, it's not on, is it any post? It's the reorganization. Yes, there is a video in the in the design post on the reorganization of the editor. It's also coming or slated for 14.8. Is that the editor screens receive some reorganization, that it's better positioned for the future enhancements, like the browse mode. And the design post has a short video for the new way of things. So it's more like an organized version. Right now, when you click on the appearance editor link in the WP admin, what you get, you're right into the editor of your homepage. Yeah, which is a little bit confusing. Now, when you click on it, you get get the menu on the left hand side, and what you see in the canvas is actually just a view. Yeah, there's an edit button where you can start the editing, but you're not gonna edit by accident, or you can then navigate to the other template parts much easier instead of kind of getting out of the canvas. Yeah, all these little things, the little annoying things are taken care of. And I'm looking forward to that. some of the UI experiments, UI, new UI is already in the experiments, but that gives them a new home, so to speak. Yeah. Any comments on that?
No, I look forward to seeing more about what's coming.
Yeah, it's really cool. I think there's so much more coming, and I'm looking forward to 6.2 because some of it is definitely slated. We don't have any plans yet on the 6.2 release cycle. That's a very shorting. It's a nice shortening of things. Yeah. Instead of release cycle, say recycle. Well, State of the Word is coming up, and I'm sure we hear a little bit about what's coming in 2023, a review of 2022. It's on December 15th at 1 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC. I always need to check my calculations on the time zones. That's just a shout out for, don't miss it. It's definitely, it will be recorded, of course, for anybody who has not time at 1 p.m. or in the evening. Yeah. So, Daisy, is there anything, how can people reach you if they wanted to connect with you, and what is in store on the online meetup?
Let's see. Exactly. So nothing scheduled for online meetup as we're kind of coming into the holiday season. If you'd like to get in touch with me, I am Daisy O, the letter O, on Make Slack. And also that's my WordPress profile. Most other places, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, I'm Daisy Olson, all one word.
All right. So, yeah, so we're coming to the end of the show, and I thank you very much for spending the time with me here and going through the changelog. Good work on all the good educational pieces that you do. And if you have any questions, dear listener, about blog themes, you can contact me, but I will point you to Daisy. In shortcut, unless we find, of course, already material online. She also has one post in the developer blog, and that, what is that about?
It was about the various ways you can use the home template and post template options and theming.
Excellent. Yeah. And okay, as always, the show notes will be published on the gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. This is episode 77. And if you have questions and suggestions or news you want us to include, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. Yes, that's an email address. No Slack, no Twitter. Well, of course, you can always follow us on @gutenbergtimes on Twitter. We also have pinned on the profile page our place on Mastodon. If you have left Twitter, just go there. It's a public page. You can still see it and link it. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Daisy. Wishing everyone wonderful holidays and a happy new year. And I'll see you on the other side until 2023. Goodbye.
Thanks so much for having me, Birgit, and happy holidays to everyone.